You may have decided on your New Year's resolutions by now, but have you figured out what financial moves you need to make in 2024? Hi, I'm Rob West. Only God knows what the future holds, but that doesn't mean we can't prepare for whatever may come. Mark Biller joins us today with some great suggestions to shore up your finances. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Mark Biller is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they've been working extra shifts to finalize their annual list of financial moves you can make in the new year, and there are a number of them. Mark, great to have you back.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Well, we're always impressed when you roll out this list every year. It's exhaustive, and of course, we can't cover the whole of it on the program, but folks can find it at soundmindinvesting.org. It's simply titled Your 10 Most Important Financial Moves for 2024.
Yeah, thanks for that, Rob. You know, everywhere you turn right now, you're seeing advice about the new year. And the problem with that is it's usually one size fits all. What we're trying to do with our list is help people choose the best 10 ideas that specifically fit their situation. So we discuss over 60 ideas in this article, but we encourage each reader to go through and select their personal top 10 list. And we've found over the years that people who go through this process of making a personal top 10 list and then follow through on those action steps, they become better stewards and make tangible progress toward their long-term goals. Now, I should also mention we've got links to additional articles and resources for all of these suggestions on the SMI website if listeners want more information or they want to dig deeper on a particular topic.
Yeah, very good. Now, these suggestions are broken up into several categories. We'll go over a few in each category, so let's dive in. The first category is spiritual and financial fundamentals. What would you point out here?
Yeah, so we try to set the appropriate context before diving into the nitty-gritty financial stuff, and that really begins with understanding what God says about us and about our money in Scripture. So a few highlights from this section include resting in God's love. You know, His love for us isn't based on our worth or merit. And if we start with an appropriate understanding of who we are in Christ, this whole exercise regarding our finances becomes so much easier and less stressful. And then along those same lines, a second very worthwhile step is to invest time studying what Scripture says about money and material possessions. You know, SMI has long said that the number one financial mistake that Christians make is ignoring biblical wisdom about financial matters and looking to secular advice instead. And by allowing yourself to be guided by biblical teaching, you'll guard against imprudent and unwise choices that inflict financial harm.
Yeah, that's helpful. Now, the next category is the world around you, and that, of course, covers a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. So here are some suggested moves from that section. You know, one is improve your understanding of the problems and the policies that are shaping today's economy. You know, we've written a ton about inflation and the potential for recession this past year. Having a working knowledge of these subjects is really helpful. Another big picture topic to understand relates to the rapidly expanding level of federal debt. And Rob, honestly, I hate putting stuff like this on the list because it's, to me, the sort of background noise that you and I have been hearing and talking about our whole careers. Yeah. But this year, you know, we had to look at it and say the debt situation has escalated so dramatically in these last few years that it's legitimately impacting interest rates, how markets are behaving, and so on. And investors just can't afford to be ignorant of those types of factors.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, after you deal with that one, you need to make sure you've got your fear in check and you've placed your trust in the Lord, because as you dive into these things, it can be concerning. But it is a good reminder that despite the uncertainty and the unrest, God is on the throne and we can trust Him implicitly. Well, today we're talking with Mark Biller about your 10 financial moves in the new year. We've got a number of options for you to build your personal 10 so you can be a better faithful steward of God's resources. Back with Mark Biller after this break. Stick around. Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking about a new article at soundmindinvesting.org. It's titled, Your 10 Most Important Financial Moves for 2024. Now, the key word in that is your, because we're going to help you build your 10 most important financial moves from a list of about 60 potential financial moves broken up in categories. Now, we covered the first couple of categories, spiritual and financial fundamentals, the world around you. Now we're going to move into the next category, and that is strengthening your foundation. So what do you have for folks here?
Yeah, laying a strong financial foundation is so critical. So a few of the items here include building an adequate emergency fund before risking money in the markets, and we discuss how to go about doing that. Second item is invest time creating and following a budget. Now, this is probably the least popular suggestion, but in all seriousness, it's probably the most powerful single step that a lot of people can take to make real financial progress in the year ahead. You know, I just really can't put it any more bluntly than to say creating and living on a budget is often the difference between financial success versus financial failure for a lot of people. And I should put in a shameless plug here for the FaithFi app, as that's one of the best tools out there to help people figure out and implement a workable budget. Another point from this section, another idea, would be committing to giving generously even if you're still paying off debt. You know, getting out of consumer debt is crucial for long-term financial stability, but debt repayment shouldn't take precedence over still giving generously during that process. That can be kind of counterintuitive, but giving is a sign of trust. It's a concrete expression that you believe God knows your needs and is going to provide for you.
That's great, Mark. Now, I think we're ready for the next section, and that is developing your investing plan. So what would you share with our listeners?
Yeah. So, of course, we've got a lot of suggestions here. This is our bread and butter section, if you will. Yeah. But one there is face your fears, overcome your inertia, and start investing. You know, a lot of people are waiting for the perfect time to get started. But really, for most people, now is the best time to start. And making regular investments over a long period of time, ignoring what the market's doing today, is going to help you to build a healthy nest egg down the road. Now, a second step here for relatively new investors is to become a dollar cost averaging investor and ideally automate that process so that it's out of sight and out of mind. Now, dollar cost averaging simply means you're investing the same amount of money at regular intervals. So, for example, you're investing $300 every month or $100 every pay period. And often the best way to do that is through a workplace retirement plan.
Yep.
But if you don't have a workplace retirement plan, you can still set up automatic monthly investments into an IRA. That's a very achievable step, and it's definitely worth the effort of setting that up.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Now, let's build on that first category on developing your investing plan, and let's move into broadening your portfolio.
Yeah, so this is kind of the next level, a little bit more advanced, and the first item here would be to become a diversified investor, and this includes starting to learn about different types of stocks, different types of bonds, how to combine them in a portfolio. As you might expect, this is the sort of thing that we spend a lot of time discussing in our SMI material.
Yeah.
And once you've got a handle on those basics, you'll find there are other ways to diversify too. Alternatives like commodities, real estate, and gold. This is also the section where a person would start thinking more closely about retirement taxes and the best way to utilize traditional and Roth accounts. Rob, you and I just spoke recently on the program about how blending these two account types can be a good move for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, for the gold bugs out there, we've got a separate action item about gold investing. You know who you are. We've got lots of resources that discuss the tactical process that SMI uses for investing in gold.
Yeah, that's so helpful. We're talking with Mark Biller today at Sound Mind Investing. We're specifically referencing this article at soundmindinvesting.org. It's titled, Your 10 Most Important Financial Moves for 2024. We'd love for you to check it out today. All right, this next batch of suggestions, Mark, is around retirement. So what do you have for us here?
Yeah, one big one, Rob, is to start thinking through your later life decisions, ideally when you're in your 50s. Now, most people put this off until later, but research really suggests that it's wise to think this through earlier. And this can include creating or updating a will or other estate planning documents. Could also include the possibility of hiring a financial professional to help guide you through the crucial financial decisions that come with aging and retirement. Another item in this section, you know, there are lots of tangible retirement items relating to Medicare, how to optimize Social Security benefits, those types of things. Another bigger picture item here is to seek the Lord about how He wants to use you during your retirement years. You know, you may be retiring from a specific job, but that definitely doesn't mean that the Lord is done with you. You know, He may have a new capacity, a new vocation, new ideas for you in a new season of life. And it's a good idea to spend time asking Him about that.
Those are really good, Mark. Now, as we begin to wrap up today, one more category, and you might call it everything else. I know it includes children, work, college technology, and insurance. So share a few suggestions from this one.
Yeah. So for parents and grandparents, a good one here is be intentional about training your children to be wise and faithful stewards. You know, our consumer culture just screams at us constantly that the key to happiness is to have more, more money, more material goods. And Christian parents and grandparents play a key role in presenting a different narrative on this subject. Specifically, we want to teach our kids that God owns everything and we're called to be productive with whatever He entrusts to us. Some other items in this section include insurance items. One that stands out is making sure that you have enough liability insurance coverage. That's a big one because the default liability coverage in a lot of homeowner and auto policies is on the low side. And you might be able to bring that up by simply adjusting the levels within the policies you already have, or by adding an umbrella liability policy, which picks up when those policies leave off. Disability insurance is another topic to consider here. And of course, for those with young children, the topic of saving for college is always of particular interest. So spending some time learning about the best ways to approach that is going to be time well spent for those folks.
Wow. And that's just a sampling, folks, of the many great suggestions in the SMI article, Your 10 Most Important Financial Moves for 2024. You can read it at soundmindinvesting.org and build your personal list for the new year. Mark, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That's Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. Again, learn more, soundmindinvesting.org. Back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, here at FaithFi, as we near the end of 2023, we need your help to continue to equip God's people to be good and faithful stewards of God's resources, equipping them to integrate faith and financial decisions for the glory of God, so that all Christians ultimately, and this is our vision, would see God as their ultimate treasure, which puts money in its proper place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And we do that through educating, equipping, and connecting God's people to be those wise and faithful stewards. And here's what makes us so excited about that is the fruit that comes from it, the life change that occurs by those listening to this broadcast and those in our app and on our website. In fact, let's listen to one of those stories right now.
I ran into some serious financial problems whereby I made the huge mistake of taking out personal loans to try and repair things and wound up with not just a car payment, but 9 personal loans on top of that. That was a whole lot of debt. And I said, Lord, if you're going to be the Lord and Savior of every aspect of my life, that also includes my finances. I took all my monthly bills, laid it on my Bible, prayed over it, and I said, Lord, I need your divine intervention. And one by one, I was able to do this where I paid off the smallest debt first. The money I used to pay on that smallest debt, I applied that to the next smallest and the next smallest after that. And right now, I owe $35 on my credit card, and that's it. The secret thing I had to realize, and I think a lot of people got to realize, what is the difference between a want and a need? If I can live without this thing, it's not a need. And that's how I was able to start getting all these bills paid off. And like I said, right now, that's all the debt I got. Ever since I did this, God's been opening financial things in my behalf about this and that. And I don't, like, what did I do to deserve this? And he's just, obedience has rewards.
Wow. Incredible. I love it. You know, when we get invited into your stories every day and we can encourage you and you can encourage us, that's what it's all about. Wise and faithful stewardship. Listen, folks, here at the end of the year, between now and December 31st, if you'd like to support Faith and Finance Live with a gift of any amount, we'd be grateful and it would go a long way to helping us finish the year strong and prepare for another year of ministry in 2024. You can make a gift today at faithfi.com. That's faith. FI.com. Just click give at the top of the page. A gift of any amount would be an incredible blessing. Thanks in advance. All right, we're going to begin to take your calls today. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Marcia. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, like, if you only had, like, smaller amounts to invest, like less than $10,000. I know CDs are good right now. Are there places that you can invest smaller amounts that would have a better return than a savings account?
Yeah, you know, it always comes down, Marcia, to risk and reward. How much risk are you willing to take, and what is your expected return? And a lot of that, we start with the time horizon. So it's really driven by, do I have, you know, an immediate need for this money or possible immediate need? Is it money I can be away from for 12 months? Do I have 5 or 10 years before I'd need the money? And then we can really match the time horizon with the appropriate risk level and then come up with a desired return. So tell me a little bit about this money in terms of, is it money you need ready access to, maybe what I would call your emergency fund, or is it really for the longer term?
No, I have other money. It's okay. It would be like long term.
Okay, great. And then the second question is, despite the fact that it's long term, are you willing to take a risk with it? Are you wanting to try to grow it beyond what you might be able to get in a guaranteed product like a CD or a savings account that has, the backing of the U.S. government?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So in that case, you know, typically what we default to, if we want to try to get a little better return than we could get in a CD or a money market or a savings account, we start to think usually about stocks and bonds. And basically what that means is we become an owner of a company And we, you know, do that with proper diversification, which is typically with a smaller amount of money through a mutual fund, which is nothing more than a basket of stocks. And a stock is just a fractional ownership in a company that's trying to create value for its shareholders. So it could be any number of companies in any number of sectors, either here in the United States or abroad. I think the next question that if we're looking at mutual funds is to say, do we want to just buy an index, which is basically just capturing the broad moves of the stock market, or do we want to try to outperform the market, and or do we want to try to only buy companies that align with our values? Because there's a growing segment of the investment landscape, Marcia, that are called faith-based investments, where they're very intentional about avoiding certain companies that might be misaligned with your values as a believer, or they might be seeking companies that are not only creating value for shareholders, but promoting the common good and creating human flourishing. Would you be more interested in a faith-based investing type of product, or would you like to buy just more of an index? You would. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt. I had money invested and was able to pay cash for a home. And not that I had lots and lots of money, but once I withdrew the money for the home, because I'm older, with buying that home, now I don't have to pay like rent or anything.
Yeah. Okay. And so the money you have left over, you're wanting to put to work for you, right?
Yes, and they told me I had to take it out, that they couldn't keep that small amount of money.
I see. Okay, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but we'll talk a bit off the air and see if we can get you pointed in the right direction. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association is a nonprofit organization that counts on your financial support to keep fighting to stem the tide of secularism in our culture and to rebuild our Christian foundations. One way many people choose to give is through the AFA Foundation. They found it's a great way to make a difference in people's lives by keeping the mission of AFA going for their kids, grandkids, and even beyond. There are also numerous ways to give that can benefit you now by providing tax benefits and even income. Of course, it doesn't stop there, or should we say start there. The AFA Foundation can also guide you step by step in planning your estate and setting up your will so you can have the peace of mind knowing everything is in its place. It's a great gift to your family and to countless others. Will you take time today and stop by afafoundation.net? All the resources you need are right there at your fingertips. afafoundation.net.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's head back to the phones to Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Lori. How can I help?
Hi, Lori. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
I have about 50 bonds that I collected through payroll deduction, and from about 2000 time frame, and I retired about 2015, but about a quantity of 50. Most of them are $200 value, double E's, and I have a couple that are 50, a couple that are 100. So should I redeem those? And I do not have a beneficiary on them.
Okay, yeah, you should, but I think redeeming them does make some sense. They're not earning a whole lot. The double E's that were issued between 1997 and 2005 are paying about 3.79%. That's the current annual interest rate. And then those that were issued after that point, after 2005, are down at around 2.7. And the reality is you can obviously do better than that. I mean, you could get a CD today for a year at maybe 5.5. You could find a high-yield savings account at 4.6. So you've had these for a while, and you know, you can redeem them anytime after a year. Obviously, the longer you hold them, the more it earns. But the reality is you could do better elsewhere. And so the key is, I think you could go to treasurydirect.gov, and all the details would be there, not only the value of the bonds that you have, but the redemption process, so you know how you'd go about redeeming those. But then you'd want to decide, obviously, how you're going to redeploy that money, whether you just put it in savings and take advantage of these high interest rates, whether you want to put it into maybe some CDs as a next step or something else. Does that make sense?
It does, but I was kind of concerned that I did not have a beneficiary. My husband was on it, but he has passed. So it's just my name, and that's why I'm kind of concerned about that, but going ahead and redeeming them.
Well, as long as you redeem them, then you don't need the beneficiary. I mean, you could add the beneficiary first, but if you're going to go ahead and redeem them, then the beneficiary is not there. You, as the owner of these, are going to be the ones to receive them. The beneficiary only comes into play if you were to pass away.
Right, right. And that could happen any day. We don't know how long we've got. But
that's true.
I was wondering about the from the tax standpoint, will the U.S. Treasury send me whatever paperwork's necessary to reflect what I gathered? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You will get the tax documents, and then you'll just pass those along to your CPA.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You're welcome, Lori. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. We're going to stay right here in Nashville. Hi, Kelly. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rob. Appreciate you taking my call. Sure. I wanted to just ask you, I call you every year and kind of stay up to date on what I should be doing. I'm 60 years old, and I'm going to be retiring hopefully at 65. And I paid my cars off, and I've started for the past year paying extra on the house, actually to where it would be paid off when I turned 65. I averaged that out. And I just wanted to ask you, as I approach that, now that I've got about 4.5 years before I get there, what are some priorities that I need to be thinking about to be prepared?
Yeah, I would say a few things. Number one is you may want to look at long-term care insurance. You know, between 55 and 60 is a great time to buy long-term care insurance. You need to make sure that it's going to fit into your budget, both now and in the future, and that you could absorb premium hikes down the road. But if there's something that's going to erode your assets in this season of life, you know, 65 plus, it's most often going to be long-term care. So you could explore that. The second option would be to look at, well, you've said you're on track to pay off your house. That's great. I think you need to put together your retirement budget to make sure that you know what your expenses are going to be in retirement and match that up with the various income sources that you have. And then in this season of life, you know, really at any season we need to do this, but certainly now, you need to just make sure your estate is in order, that your will is up to date, that you have a healthcare surrogate, that you've got probably a durable power of attorney if you're incapacitated, somebody who can make financial and legal decisions for you, that you have a living will that says how you'd like end-of-life decisions handled. And then obviously all of your beneficiaries are up to date, and the next steward or stewards of whatever God has entrusted to you are not only chosen but prepared, and they're ready to handle whatever you might leave behind. And, you know, I think those are the key things. Then, of course, really, I think I would begin praying and thinking about what God has for you in this next season of life. You know, we know his calling doesn't have an expiration date, so maybe you take a season of sabbatical rest, but then I think you should be looking toward what you're retiring to and not what you're retiring from, and really think about how you can be used by the Lord in this next season of life. So those would be maybe the first few things that come to mind. Is that helpful?
That is very helpful. Let me ask you real quick. In terms of savings, you know, I have an emergency fund and am in the black every month, thank God, that continues. Is it good to put those in a kind of a high-yield savings account? Or I did the CD and that, you know, it yields about 5%. But then there's also the option of, like, money market and stuff like that. Is that a big deal, or does that not really matter?
Yeah, I think a high-yield savings account is fine for your emergency fund. So especially with the rates where they are right now, that would be perfectly suitable as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and that's what, about a little over 4%? Usually it's pretty good.
Yeah, you should be able to get about 4.5 right now. You could go to bankrate.com and find out who has the very best rates. In fact, I saw one earlier today at over 5%. So there are options out there if you're willing to use an online bank.
Okay. Rob, God bless you. Thank you for everything you do, and carry on, my friend.
Well, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. Hey, I want to send you a gift. There's a great book out by my friend Jeff Hanen. He wrote The Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. I think it'll be a real blessing to you. You stay on the line. We're going to get your information and send that as our gift to you. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for your call, Kelly. Let's go to Spokane. Robert, go ahead, sir.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, great. I'm calling because my wife received an inheritance and she's a godly woman, and I love her dearly. She was telling me that I have no say in how she spends the inheritance, and so I was just wondering, how does that work in a marriage when it comes to, say, in spending an inheritance that the spouse receives?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question, Robert. You know, we had Dr. Gary Chapman on, and I love what he said just about God's goal and design for marriage to be oneness, to be unity, you know, to become one flesh in marriage, which means it's really the merging of everything, including our finances, that, you know, it's not the income that I earn and the income that she earns. It's the income that God has graciously given to us as a married couple. And I think that only that includes not only wages and gifts, but it also includes inheritances. And so I would say the biblical model for that is really to see whatever comes into the household as a gracious gift from God that the couple is then to steward together based on their values and priorities, recognizing they're different people and they may have different ideas, but we come together in love and try to find common ground and pursue God's plan for our marriage and our family in unity. And I think that needs to include inheritance. Now, obviously, she has a different feeling on that. So I think taking a cue from what he shared earlier, you would approach that conversation with love and respect, not any kind of belittling or telling her she's wrong, but just saying, I would appreciate it if you'd hear me out in my perspective that really whatever we received, again, is a gracious gift from God. And I'd love for us to pray and think about how we use this together. I think that's ultimately the right approach. I've got to take a break. Let's talk some more off the air. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. A quick reminder, our team is away from the studio, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions we lined up in advance. And before the break, we were talking to Robert in Spokane. His wife has received an inheritance, and she's made it clear that she'd like to be the one solely to determine how it's spent. She doesn't want this to be a part of what she and her husband, Robert, are making decisions on together. And he's just wondering how to approach that. And I was sharing before the break, you know, as we had Dr. Gary Chapman on today, and he made it clear. And I think what really stood out to me in that interview is this idea of oneness being the goal in marriage, and that we approach conversations around money with, first of all, with a mutual respect, with the desire to understand we're both on the same team, with the goal of finding common ground, but also a give and take. And let me ask you, Robert, what do you think is driving this conversation? Is it perhaps that the source of the funds has something to do with how she wants to spend it? Is that she just feels like she'd like to be independent and be able to make her own decision? What do you think is behind this?
Oh, thanks, Rob. I think it's partially because there's some remodeling involved, and I think she enjoys the, shall we call it a hobby for the remodeling part of it. And so we went to a Weekend to Remember in Coeur d'Alene recently. And
oh, nice.
The conversation with love and respect was beautiful. I highly recommend the Weekend to Remember to any couple. Yeah. And so we've been blessed by it.
Yeah. Does she feel like she's not been able to do some remodeling in the past that she's wanted to, and she feels like this is her opportunity? Or why do you feel like that this is being tied to that project?
I've given her free rein as far as the remodeling. There were some concerns in the past about spending more than would be ideal. And so, you know, I think that maybe she took that as a restriction. And so I just felt that with the love and respect circle that I just needed to give her both love and respect and just, you know, keep the ball moving.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Well, I mean, I think you're taking the right approach on this. I think at the end of the day, we have to recognize we don't own anything. So this is not her money or your money. This is the Lord's money. Now, you all have been entrusted as stewards of this from the day you were married forward. Everything that God entrusts to you is as a married couple. And so now you have to make decisions and be God's money manager. And that's one of the ways as we wrestle through those decisions that we grow in our faith, because we ultimately have to trust him and rely on him. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And there's a reason that money is the source of conflict for most married couples. But I feel like if you go into this prayed up, if you go into this saying, listen, just with anything we've received throughout our lives, including this, I'd like for us to be on the same page. I want to hear your perspective, and I want us to find a path forward together that we feel like reflects our values and priorities as believers and as a married couple. And if part of that includes doing some more renovations, great. And if part of that is accomplishing maybe a goal that you have, which is to pay down debt or shore up your savings, that's great too. But I think if you come with a spirit of love and respect and with a lot of prayer, hopefully you can find some common ground here as you move forward. But I would say at the end of the day, the right approach is to say whatever comes in to our family, to us as a couple, is ours because we're one flesh. It all belongs to God. And so we're charged with being found faithful. And there's that opportunity then to work together as a married couple to find God's heart, no matter what it is, inheritance, wages, a gift, you name it. So we'll pray that God gives you some wisdom as you navigate that conversation. It sounds like you're ready for it to do it in the right spirit. And I hope that you guys can find the path forward here. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Grand Rapids. Hi, Mary. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am hoping to retire next spring. I'm going to be 63 next week. I'm trying just to get your opinion. We're debt-free. We have decent cars. House is paid off. We have about $500,000 in retirement accounts. We've been able to save about $75,000 just that are in savings accounts that are liquid. My husband has another probably 30 or 40 coming in from commissions, and there could be a little bit of inheritance money coming in the near future as well. Just wondering what your thoughts are. If I wanted to retire like next May, we would be able to live on some cash, take some money out of our plans until we get to 67, yeah, and then take Social Security at that time. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you all have done some great planning, and you're certainly well on your way to having all of your ducks in a row here. What would be your monthly need in total? Have you done that retirement budget to look at, you know, where some savings might occur now that you're not commuting to work, or, you know, you may no longer be eating out during the day, you know, every day if that was your normal routine? I mean, a lot of times folks will live on 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income, but what do you feel like your monthly need will be at that point?
Well, we've kind of done a rough sketch of that, just kind of looking at what's going out. And I think, you know, if we kept our expenses around, I don't know, $3,500 to $4,000.
Okay. All right. So let's say it's $4,000 a month. And then where would that come from? Did you say your husband will continue to do some part-time work beyond your retirement? Is that the plan?
Well, that would come from the money that we've saved, that we have liquid right now, and he does still have some commission coming in, and we'll continue to work probably through like May or something like that.
Okay, so at that point you would be 64, is that right? So you're looking at about 3 years.
Yeah, well, I'd be about 63 and a half.
Okay. And how much do you feel like he might be able to bring in through commissions ongoing?
Well, I think there's another 30 or so that he will be coming in the next few months.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So obviously that could get you through, you know, the first year. or close to it, because you're going to be working here for another, you know, 6 months or so, it sounds like. At that point, I think the question is just, is it better to start drawing down from the $75,000, which, you know, that would last you less than 2 years, or start drawing an income from the $500,000, or is it better at that point to take Social Security early? The challenge is every year you pull it early, you're going to, you know, take about an 8% reduction that's permanently locked in, and you're not going to get a guaranteed 8% in the investment account, certainly not in the cash portion. So I think you'd be better off to go ahead and start drawing some of that $75,000 down. Is the $500,000 invested, and do you have an advisor, or how is that being handled?
We do have an advisor. About $75,000 is in a Roth. Okay. And, you know, he's plugged all the numbers into his program, and it looks like there's like a 92% chance of it working, however all those figures come into play. But So, you know, we're thinking of spending the cash until we get to 65 and then taking money out of the accounts to get to 67 and then start Social Security.
Yeah, and that was what the advisor recommended as he ran those scenarios?
Yeah, he's good with that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me, just because, again, you're not going to get to guaranteed 8% in the investment accounts. And the only other option is you delay your retirement for a period where you continue to work, and that way you can, you know, avoid having to pull so early from either the cash account or the investment accounts. But obviously that comes down to lifestyle and, you know, whether you all are ready to transition to what God has next for you. The other option is you go ahead and retire from your current job, and maybe either one or both of you pick up some part-time work and try to bridge this gap between, you know, 64 and a half and 67, to, you know, again, lessen the burden on what's coming out so you can preserve the full Social Security for yourselves and keep as much of the roughly $600,000 intact. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's a planning function, and you know, I think you just want to do as much as you can now to shore up what you're going to be living on for the rest of your life. And that's two things. One is delaying Social Security as long as possible and trying to just pull as little as possible out of those retirement accounts. And that's just going to come down to how long and how much you're willing to work, either in its current form or in some limited capacity, you know, beyond retirement. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But I generally speaking, I agree with the direction you're going in terms of the priority order. I would just throw in this additional thought about whether or not it makes sense to either delay for even 6 months or delay or go ahead and retire and then work part time. But I think ultimately that's something you guys should pray through and together. And I love the fact that you're thinking through these scenarios with your advisor.
Great.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Absolutely, Mary. Thanks for listening to the program, and thanks for calling in today. We appreciate you being on the program. Call anytime. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. So thankful you were along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's my absolute privilege to join you each day to encourage you, to provide hope, and to direct you back to godly wisdom, which is the only wisdom we want for the entirety of our lives, but certainly that includes this area of financial management. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland providing research, Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer, and Robert Youngblood managing our phones today, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being along with us. Have a great rest of your day. May the Lord bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.